We'll go back on the air.
Okay, then section E says that when you get to the point that the full amount of the reserve, whatever that amount is, has been reached, then you go into this business of every year you collect an amount equal to 20%, well, of the ongoing expenses for that year plus 20% of the full reserve, and then return to those persons who paid in the first year the excess risk charges, which is defined as the amount collected less the actual expenses and the amount paid. And then you run that forward year to year.
It's the rebate at the same rate as they put in there? I mean, obviously some are going to have more money than others.
I think you'd have to work out a formula on the rebate.
Well, it would be, what I said was...
barrels and all.
Their pro-rata share of the excess, pro-rata isn't defined, but I presume it would mean pro-rata to how they contributed.
Right.
The one that puts in 5X would take out 5Y. And it wouldn't be precisely what they put in, because it would be what comes in each year. In other words, they can't take out an amount such that it would deplete the fund below its full reserve value. $20 million at this point.
It would be less the expenses incurred.
And less the expenses, right.
Right.
And less any sums actually paid for pollution.
Right. And then you'd also have another factor in there. Where the Commissioner of Revenue has the ability to invest those funds, and then that money is then re-injected into the total sum, and that amount then
yes.
is part of the rebate system.
That is correct.
Okay. Is that taken into consideration?
It
I'm
says,
sure it is.
It says somewhere in here. Well, it says it in one place. It needs to say it in two places. I put it only in one. It says the prorated share of the excess, if any, of risk charges paid over all disbursements of the fund for that year, plus interest on the amount of the excess returned.
Okay.
So it would be returned. It needs also to be placed.
Mr. Elias?
I had a question. It seems to me earlier we were talking about, say, for instance, they had an accident, it was $200,000 to clean it up, which should be taken out of the fund, right? But is there a provision in here, or isn't there, that says the one who created, who had the accident would reimburse the fund to that amount?
No.
So,
no. Well, that's been specifically avoided, and that was the subrogation issue we talked about, I think, a week ago. We said that would sort of tend to defeat some of the other functions of this thing.
Right.
So he would not make that contribution. And in fact, what would happen is he'd get some money back.
Yes.
How would get some money back?
Well, you said a $20,000, $200,000 spill. Let's suppose that the amount contributed that year was $1 million to the reserve, okay? And there's a $200,000 spill, you have $800,000 excess. That $800,000 excess would be distributed prorated to everybody that put it in, including the spillor.
Right.
Right, but I was interpreting, I thought you'd make a few bucks.
Was that good?
Well, it's the same way they run insurance pools for boats.
Yeah.
Same thing. I thought they mentioned earlier that they have to replace the money in the fund themselves.
The whole train does.
They'll re-inject another amount of money along with everybody else.
That's right.
To make sure that we keep the amount at $20 million. Okay, so it's just rolling along every year.
Well, the guy who has the sophisticated equipment on his tankers and doesn't have any accident, he's got more money invested, but he's still paying for the spills of some guy that's naked. Right?
Well, in essence, that's true, but the cost is being spread amongst all the carriers, and hopefully this would be the incentive, as I would understand it, to make sure that the other carriers are going to, you know, mind their business and to make sure they don't spill.
And then pursuant
to... Isn't that what we're talking about?
Yes, sir, and also, however, just to keep it in perspective, if under paragraph A, on page 19 and 20, to the extent that he has the sophisticated equipment and buying all these things, his contribution is going to be less than the guy driving a
So it's pro rata contribution, and it's based upon the
double bottoms.
No, no, well,
finders, fish finders, and everything else he has on the tanker.
Well, let's talk in numbers. Say, there's one tanker for one company, and there's 20 tankers for one company. Does one company pay 20 times more than the other because he has that much more?
Well, he said 20 times more spills.
The risk is increased for that carrier.
What?
The risk is increased for that carrier. Would reflect the amount, the number of carriers that are exposed.
That's a pro rata condition, then.
I believe that would be covered under that.
The annual risk charge is based on a per vessel.
Right. Per vessel, per tonnage?
Well, then there are other factors like the size of the vessel, but a guy with five vessels would pay five times more than the guy with one vessel.
In the pool.
In the pool.
He'd get five times as much back, too.
And he'd get five times as much back.
Spill five times as much oil.
That's why he's paying five times more.
Well, I hope you don't spill any at all.
Me too. You guys better not spill any at all.
But...
Don't
you ever
let
the catch
you
spill
20 million is too much money.
Keep Prince William Sound pure as the chief. Okay, what's the deal on the language, gentlemen? Any further clarification? Any questions?
Well, I think comments? That can we move this as an amendment into there somewhere?
Right, where he says, yeah. Page 21, line 6.
Right. Well, I'll move the amendment.
Mr. President, have you had an opportunity to review the new language? If so, Mr. do you Block have any objection?
I have no objection to it.
That's inserting in line 6 and renumbering that next one, subsection G, right?
That's inserting where?
On page 21, line 6 of the House Committee substitute.
I mean, they will become the
Yes.
I move the amendment.
There is a motion to adopt the amendment drafted by Mr. Block. We're all sincerely grateful for your extra work that you put into this.
Thank you.
That's part of the amendment.
Is this
discussion on the amendment?
Yeah, does this establish a $20 million fund top?
Yep.
Under this language,
on 5-year period.
Under this language, the first motion that we made was that we would reconsider that amount when we discussed the entire motion. If that's
is this up for discussion now?
It's up for discussion.
Yeah, we could amend the amendment by making it 50 or something if we wanted to. 75.
The operation of this fund then is going to be operated by the EPA.
No, DEC.
Our local, friendly local.
It's going to be paid out of this fund. From the earnings from the fund, is this right?
Mm-hmm. Well, the money will be contributed by the carriers and so forth into the fund. All costs associated with the implementation of this bill, additional employees, equipment, if it's found necessary, will be purchased out of this fund. And according to our, you've got the fiscal note here, the first year, fiscal year 77, would cost $99,000, and every year thereafter, we've got $1,000,000 something plus a year. Thereafter, that will come out of the fund. Correct? That's the question. I think I'm correct. If I'm not,
well, I'd hate to see this fund any higher. In fact, I'd like to see it lower, because you could build up a tremendous democracy out of it. I mean, bureaucracy out of this thing.
Well, this was my objective, to keep it at this figure. In fact, this figure came to us actually through the oil companies themselves as a maximum figure.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Brown?
I don't want to plant the seeds of unrest in the minds of some of those listening, but I think it's at least conceivable that if there were great lavish amounts of unnecessary expenditures made by the department, which I don't expect, on the basis that, well, we've got a nice big cornucopia of money coming in from the industry, that the industry would start, you know, inserting their lawyers into pencil sharpeners and hauling them into court. I don't think it's a real problem.
sharpening their heads.
What's the control on this fund? I'm asking, how are we going to control the fund?
Control on the...
It sounds like a kind of like a money machine, you know, cranking away.
I don't understand the question, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Eliason, do you have a comment?
I just had a question that this fund is used exclusively for the cleanup of the pollution.
There is language in the...
No other damages involved.
No other damages involved. They can use a portion of the fund for research.
5% of the total amount may be used for research and development. And there is language, clear language in the bill that...
I'd like to find that.
I shared the same fears that Mr. Rode has, that if we got a great helicopter fund here, $50-60 million, there would be a bureaucracy. And just like I said this morning, the bigger the bureaucracy, the less efficient it becomes. And that was the reason that I followed the lead of the amendment recommended by the oil company themselves as a $20 million figure. I think we could control it fairly well.
Mr. Swanson and Mr. Rode, on page 19, there's under that section where the... I'm not sure if the allocations that are referred to here refer to the entire budget, but the allocation shall be made in accordance with the Executive Budget Act, and that the legislature would have some control. Mr. President,
page
is that...
Which? 19.
On page 19, referring to allocations made from that fund, that they would be made in accordance with the Executive Budget Act. In other words, it'd be inserted into the operating budget, and we'd be, the legislature would approve or disapprove those allocations. But does that just refer to research and development, or does that refer to the fiscal note and the operation of DEC? I suppose that would have to... We'd have control over that also.
Would we have to appropriate money out of the fund for the operation of the department?
No, because it's a revolving fund. But the allocations for research and development are subject to the Executive Budget Act, and I think the hiring of any employees by the state would be subject to the Executive Budget Act as well. But we wouldn't have to appropriate the money out of the fund.
In other words, the fund... As it says then on 19, that the fund shall be used by the department to carry out the purposes of this chapter. They could come up with a $2 million budget. We have no control over what they decide, $5 million, $10 million, or whatever.
No, in terms of their hiring of employees and the like, we certainly have the control in that regard under the Budget Act. Their use of the money for research and development is subject to the Executive Budget Act. What's not subject to the Executive Budget Act is if there is a spill and they have to use the money immediately to clean it up. That's not subject to the appropriation process.
Okay. So in other words, all administrative expenses, costs of removal, discharges, all risk charges, penalties, other fees, would come right out of that fund with no oversight at all from the legislature. It would just be done by the department and that's it.
We have oversight, but there's no approval of the requirements.
Mr. Eliason.
I can see it already. After this fund has reached the point of $20 million, there's 5% for research. I can see the University of Alaska coming down $100,000 a year doing their thing. Right?
See who?
Don't look at me. I'm a physicist. I can see it already.
I'm not a chemist, I'm a physicist. I don't know anything
research
about
research, development, causes, and effects. That makes that make a good contract, University of Alaska, for $100,000 a year.
ISCGR.
Well, I object to anything going to the University of Alaska.
That sure sounds
my good friend, Red, yes.
Okay, is there further discussion on the bill?
What about the motion, Mr. Chairman?
What motion is this?
Well, we had a motion to
adopt the amendment.
Is there further discussion on the proposed amendment? Mr. President, do you have objection to the amendment as it's written at this time? Is a $20 million figure...
You've just joined our...
Unrealistic, too low, too high, or...
I think it's too low. I don't think it's unrealistic. I don't...
Well, we've got that five-year...
I think we can live with it for a year and...
The five-year thing?
A couple of years. Okay.
Well, Mr. Van Dorn, is it on the motion to adopt this?
I don't really think, and if we're going to adopt the exact language, we need hereby in there.
Where is that at?
Yeah, just leave out the hereby's, yeah.
Where are you?
On section F.
Yeah.
First sentence.
Yeah.
This is just for drafting.
Yeah.
On the amendment.
Straight out of the manual.
Section F.
Is initially established.
Yeah.
Okay, well, just take that word out.
Ask unanimous consent.
The unanimous consent has been asked to adopt the new language on page 21, line 6. Is there any objection? And we'll change that B to G on line 7 then, on page 21. There's no objection and that amendment is adopted. Is there further discussion on the bill? If there's no discussion, the chair will entertain a motion to adopt the House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute Response Substitute of Senate Bill 406.
I so move.
Mr. Rode.
Well, I got about 35 amendments that I wanted to bring up.
Where are they?
They're the men. Since this bill primarily was designed for hauling the crude oil from Valdez, California, and so forth, if it wasn't for Prudhoe Bay, probably we'd have never seen it, chances are. I think we should take out all of the refined products out of it, leave it only the crude, which would simplify this bill tremendously as far as its cost is going to cost the consumer, it's going to cost this, it's going to cost that, which in my mind is not fair yet.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Chairman, I do not agree. I think that we've provided for adequate safeguards regarding any reported additional costs and that they will be minimal. I think it's a good bill. I think we ought to move it up.
I still think we've got problems with the refined part, the refined product.
Can you guys be quiet for a while? Just so peaceful before you started talking.
There's been no problems with them to date, and I think we're adopting this thing to possible fear or something.
Well, it seems to me, yeah.
The crude oil, yes, I can see that, and those tankers going into Valdez, going into Cook Inlet, and so forth, with this crude going south. We need some type of control regulation. As far as the refined products are concerned, the companies have insurance, the boats have insurance, the insulation, the shores have insurance, everything's covered that I know of, and I think it's going to just add a cost to the consumer.
Okay.
And I don't like to see this brought about maybe a year from now that we need it.
Philosophically, I go along with what you're saying. By 1977, couldn't there be a possibility that we could find everything that Mr. Rode has stated is true, and that we find that there is no need to put that burden on the consumers of the state of Alaska and restrict the language to crude transportation?
If you do find that, then you can do that in the next session of the legislature.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, but are we going to be working toward that end during the interim to try to make that determination? Because there is, that question is open as well on whether or not a double hull tanker is more safe than a segregated ballast system. You know, that's an open question. I just don't think, you know, I agree. They're quite possible we're all covered in the interim. We'll discover that there is no need for the refined petroleum product provision in the bill. In the interim, that conclusion may be reached. If it is, then further refinement to the bill would appear to be necessary. I would certainly support it at the time that some of that evidence could be shown.
Mr. Croft will be here next year. Perhaps none of the rest of us will be. Could we get a written statement from him that he will follow this up?
Tape recording over there.
Mr. Croft is an honorable man, and he's never once let me down.
So are we all honorable
men? I'm not going to speak.
Come on, speak at Caesar's funeral.
Mr. Eliason?
Well, you know. whether a spill is refined oil or crude oil is really not that great amount of difference. As a matter of fact, maybe some of these refined oil is probably much more caustic than crude oil. But we're only talking about, in fact, his figures are correct, 0.1 cents per gallon. For an insurance clause, that's damn cheap, I think. I'm not willing to concede that the refined oil tankers are a lot safer or have more competent people than the people that are running the crude tankers. As a matter of fact, they probably don't have as competent as we have in the, or have the equipment.
You mean that refined product, the Point Barrel that sells for $2.47 a gallon now, will sell for $2.48 a gallon?
No, $2.47 1/10 cent a gallon more. That's what he said.
Yeah, you put that in writing.
Well, I mean,
I question that, a little bit.
But SoCal just routed off to the next full sentence.
Well, insurance, insurance is insurance, really. And it seems to me we're having some requirements that these crude oil tankers have, navigation equipment, things of that nature, which makes them a safer vessel than these ships are transporting refined oil. But here, on the other hand, we're saying these ones who are not as safe shouldn't be part of the program. It don't make sense.
Well, my point is that the crude oil traffic is going to pick up tremendously, from what it is now. And I think there should be a tanker bill. I think there should be some to protect this. But I can't see any pickup in the refined products, any appreciable pickup from the population of Alaska or so forth. And to my knowledge, there's never been an accident. I mean, we're kind of setting this thing up and anticipating we're going to have tankers running the ground up here. And there's nothing to show that this has ever happened.
Well, I've never had a fire at home either, but I can't get insurance out here. We don't know. But it seems to me that it'd be wise to insure those who are more likely to have a spill, which I would think would be the tankers who are carrying refined oil.
We're penalizing somebody for the good safety fringes record, though, aren't we?
We're not.
Well, I'd think that we would be.
But if we're talking about a great deal of, if we're talking about a real impact upon the gallon per fuel used in the state, then that's something else again. If we're actually talking about 0.1 cents.
You believe that 0.1 cents?
Well, I'd leave it until somebody shows me something good.
Well, I have a problem with that 0.1 cent, too. I really do. It may not sound like much to you, but the people who are least able to pay that amount are the ones that are going to be required to pay it. That's the only thing.
I get back to Mr. Rhodes' suggestion here of his 35 amendments to the bill.
I don't know what the figures are.
Well, I was going to say that we would just recess for dinner and come back at 6:30 and start through your amendments.
No, it's just the mention. It's probably mentioned there 35 times. Refined products, that's all.
I'm sorry. I thought you had 35 amendments.
No.
I was going to suggest that we come back tonight because we don't have to go into session until 9 o'clock in the morning, and we probably could get
One other thing. In the refer to deep water ports, there are several references. Other than the section itself, it defines deep water ports. That probably would have to be taken out. I had the pages written in where I had found referrals to deep water ports. They should be taken out.
What page is that?
Well, on page, first of all, the amendment is on page. The section that we took out is deep water ports.
Page 25.
Page 25. And then on page 27, we define deep water port. That probably should come out, too. Is that correct, Mr. President? Would that be correct?
That's correct.
And there are other references to deep water ports in definitions. And would move or ask to be moved at this time that references to deep water ports be taken out when this bill is drafted, when the House Committee substitute with all the amendments is drafted. Would there be any objection to that, Mr. President?
Okay.
Members of the committee?
No.
Okay, then that would be
just the language, too, that refers to deep water ports.
Right.
Mr. Chairman.
Chairman.
In reference to these 35 amendments I was talking about for Mr. Swanson now, like page one, line...
I read you loud and clear,
line
sir.
15 where it says refined petroleum products or their byproducts.
Yeah.
That'd be taken out all through the bill. I don't know how many times it was mentioned. That's what I had to reference to at 35.
Well, I thought maybe you had a stack of amendments, you know.
Well, that was them.
I was willing to go along with
also you. Move with Mendoza out.
What's going on? Did you make a motion about what you were talking about?
No. I asked if there was general agreement amongst members of the committee and with the concurrence of the president of the Senate that references to deep water ports, since we had taken out the section page 25 of deep water ports, any definitions there and references to it would be the understanding that this is redrafted, that those references right. to deep water ports be taken out of the bill.
Mm-hmm. Did we?
There was no motion. It's just that there is an understanding of redrafting that these would be taken
yeah.
out.
That's just pursuant
to
the
move
memo
to take, did, Do you want move to take that out on 27 too? I guess we took it out of 25 by a motion, but we didn't take it out.
Well, for the record, I suppose we heard to.
Okay, I move that we take the strike the language in under 6 on page 27, deep water port.
Is there any objection to the motion? If there is none, then that section will be deleted and will renumber the following sections accordingly. Okay, now, Mr. Rode.
I'll move that throughout the bill that we take out the term refined petroleum products or their byproducts.
Object.
On each page that this appears, which essentially puts it in a crude oil, transportation of crude oil.
A
year from now, if they need it, there would be no problem with that. I'm moving that to unanimous consent.
Object.
Okay. Objection is noted. Mr. Rode, do you have any further comments?
Question.
It's just too good a record up here of all the refined products. I don't think it's needed in the bill, but I certainly think the crude oil is. And I support it.
Mr. President, do you have any statements to make on the toxicity of the large volumes of...
Something better.
I think I've made all of those several times before.
I just like to do it just for the record. I can't say it, okay? I'm just tired. But anyway, I would agree with your motion, but I feel that during the interim, if there is sufficient evidence, taking into consideration your the history of the transportation refined petroleum products and byproducts is such that there is no need to address it. By the time this becomes effective, that at that time I think we could amend the law to exclude the transportation. Mr. Osterberg.
Mr. Chairman, when is the effective date on this?
July 1977, I believe. July
1. The pipeline isn't completed, then what happens? Where do we get the money?
From the transporters of refined petroleum products out of my hide. Mr.
Even if the Trans-Alaska Pipeline doesn't start operation at all in 1977, over three times the amount of refined products will be the transportation of crude oil in Cook Inlet, the production of Cook Inlet. Of course, a lot of that goes into refined product at the Tesoro and
yeah.
SoCal facility there. So again, those products are not, that is a portion of the 20 million products that's not affected by the bill in some respects. But there's still more crude oil transported in the state than those refined products.
I agree with you there, because the amounts going out.
Even without the Trans-Alaska Pipeline.
They all, you know, they have a feeling that this comes out of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, which affects the Cook Inlet fields also. Because they've been transporting oil out of there for 10 years with a no spill record. And to my knowledge, they haven't had any problems. I mean, I don't say they won't have any. But
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Logan,
But I think a record, I think the track record of an organization is worth something. And this reason I'd like to see the refined products taken out of this, because they do have a good track record. And a year from now, or 2 years from now, maybe it should be in there. But it's going to raise the price of products to the consumer. I don't think there's any question there. And I don't think we have any real figures for how much it's going to be raised. We have an idea. We know it's going to be raised some, and it may be a small amount, but it's still, consumer is going to take it up.
Sure. Is that true or not? There is going to be an increase in the product. Is that correct?
There is going to be what?
There is going to be an increase in the product.
The price.
The refined petroleum product that's transported into the state. Provisions of the law as it's written, there is going to be an increase to the profit to the consumer.
I think it's going to be extremely minimal, but if you add some the contributions into the fund, there will be a slight, you will have a slight effect.
Mr. Brown and Mr. Eliason.
Mr. Chairman, I think we've pretty well haggled around on this one back and forth.
We have a motion.
And all that, I just think we ought to vote on the motion. I'm opposed to the motion. I think we leave the bill as is.
Mr. Eliason?
Let's vote. I move.
Right.
Question has been called on a motion to delete all references to refined petroleum products and refined products. All those in favor of the motion, please raise your hands. All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it.
Who do you think you are, Chancy Crone?
I object.
The motion to delete the language that fails. Mr. Elias.
My question is a procedural one now. Are we going to have this reproduced again as amended? Before we pass the bill out?
Yes, we're going to have to
before we act on
have it reproduced, run it by you. Right. Hopefully it'll be done over the weekend. Can we get it worked over the weekend?
Do you want to move on the bill, or do you want to do it first? I'd rather move on the bill.
Move on the bill. And then hold a committee report subject to check.
Right. Get thing over?
Mr. Eliason?
I think, you know, inasmuch as it's a Senate bill, I'm sure we're going to be here at least another week. Unless the senator has any objections to it, I'd like to be able to look at it once more and give these gentlemen an opportunity to, maybe there's going to be something in there we can change at that particular time.
Who has it next?
Is this thing so chopped up?
Judiciary.
Yeah, it's just chopped up. I'd like to really read it.
Mr. President, the bill does not resemble in any way the original bill that came in. There have been significant changes, and Mr. Eliason, Mr. Rode, I don't know if other members would like to review the bill before voting the bill out, but the question I have is I don't want to delay this thing any longer than we have to.
I don't either. Can I make a suggestion in that regard?
Mr. Brown.
One thing that we have done several times recently in judiciary is that we've gone ahead and voted and will sign a committee report, but the chairman will agree to hold the committee report pending, you know, our final review of the bill to make sure that's really what we voted on. And he will check with us first and have the bill available, and then after he gets a nod, then he'll go ahead and pass it.
If it's agreeable with the committee?
Well, I don't agree with that.
Well, the chairman have been known to burn committee reports in their desks quietly,
I think I have a 33 bill.
Well, to get something before us, Mr. Chairman, to get something before us to debate, I'll move the bill.
There's a motion to move the bill.
Object just for the purpose of, you know, it's a 33-page bill, and mine is, no, certainly aren't as complete as yours, so I haven't been here the amount of time you've spent here. And maybe we've done some things, maybe there's some other things we should do too, maybe there's some things that aren't compatible in the bill. And I'd be very reluctant to sign on a bill, you know, honestly, without having better notes than I have here. Or unless you want to go through it page by page with me, I'll sit here and do that, and if you want to sign it out.
I can respond, and your point's well taken. But in as long as the bill goes to another committee, which you are on judiciary, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, you'll have a opportune time to review the bill. I probably will sit in Judiciary Committee and listen to see what they do. And it's going to take a couple of days to get it typed up. I would rather move the bill out of here, and it'll be all typed up before the Judiciary Committee goes to work on it, which would be Monday or Tuesday, and they may take 3 or 4 or 5 days, even in Judiciary, to change some of that. So I think you would have an opportune time to go over the bill in with the learned group of the legislature and pick out anything on your, if you find something that if you want to amend, you could do it there. I'd rather move the bill out, and as long as it has that second committee, another committee referral, I'd rather see them have it on Monday.
Well, then, of course, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Eliason.
Following that line of reasoning, we probably shouldn't even stop there. This bill should have went probably and let them do the work on it.
Well, we've done most of the work.
I'd like to see the results of work. That's what I'm asking.
That's what I said.
Well,
your point's
if we don't have an objection, if you think it's going to hold, if you think it's going to endanger the bill, that's something else again. But I'd like to take a look at it.
I don't know, Mr. Chairman, whether it endangered. I have my brother. I just want to go ahead and vote, so you can at least tell Legislative Affairs this is a bill that we want typed up in this form, and then if it's in that form, we can go ahead with it. If for some reason they don't type it up right, then I think what Ms. Watson is correct to oppose it. Well, there's already been one draft that they've gone through up there, and I think you're going to get it typed up quicker if you tell them that it is what the committee has voted on. If you want it typed up, if that is prepared that way, you can go ahead and sign it out after you've had a chance to go. And also, I'm glad to sit down and go.
Yeah, that's the procedure I wouldn't mind. I don't want to sign a bill until I read it. That's.
I assume that you can vote now, and then when the bill is actually typed up in the correct form, you're going to sign the committee report.
That's all right with me, but let's get the show on the road, because it does have another committee referral. We're going to have an opportune time to carry into it over there too.
Mr.
Chairman,
well, assuming it is typed up for us to act on in its final form, you don't intend to have any more meetings on it other than to sign your report. Is this it?
Can we just authorize you to bicycle the report by with the final bill? We looked at the bill, yeah,
well,
that's right, then we said.
This is what I'm wondering about. We're not going to have any more hearings on it.
I don't plan on any more.
Okay, then. Question.
No way.
Yeah.
I've
been
up
with
this bill.
Okay, let her go.
On the motion to move the bill out, to all those in favor, please raise your hand. All those opposed, same sign.
Sign the report when we
have to. I changed my mind after I read it.
You have a chance in judiciary.
You'll have to be able to sign no rec on the, or no do not pass.
You're sign your report list.
Oh, how many do passes do we have in the bill? How many? Otherwise.
I don't know. I assume I'll pass it. No.
Okay, their motion to move the bill out passes. We have a majority with a do pass recommendation. We'll have it drafted by Legislative Affairs. I would hope, Mr. President, you could kick those guys in the proper appurtenances so that they can get this thing going.
Appurtenances.
And
pretty good for 5 o'clock.
And get the bill back to us, review it, and we'll get it on its way.
Yeah, go kick them in their holes.
If there's no further business for the committee, we'll adjourn until Monday morning at 8 a.m.
And then we'll sign the report when we get the bill back, right?
Sure.
Okay. We're going to rename the state land to parks, and then we can get airports and roads in easier.
Okay, on House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 726, an act relating to exchange of land. Mr. Smith, you were doing some work on this. Have you decided which way we're going to go on this one? Or?
Yeah, I like this committee substitute. It's got a one point that occurs in two different places that I think we should discuss briefly. Where is that though? There's a list, or it says a petition can force a hearing, and the draft we have here says they have to be registered voters to sign the list, and I would think that just being residents would be sufficient.
Okay, where, do you have the...
I can't find it.
Page 7, line 7.
I can't find the figures. There is no original bill, huh?
Yeah, it's that one.
Well, that's the bill we got from the Senate?
No.
Yeah.
There's a bill you have.
The thing we got from the Senate is committee substitute for Senate Bill 726.
Oh, okay. Well, this is it then. Yeah. 426-76?
Right.
The date on the top?
What, yeah.
426-76.
What about the HCS?
I don't have any HCS.
How about the House Committee substitute?
What bill are we talking about?
I don't know what the hell we're talking about.
6, no.
We might get to find it. We might find out before the morning's over.
I got a 6-page bill. That's not close.
I got 726 Senate.
It's like a 6-page bill.
Maybe I used your new system. I'm not passing them out till we took them up.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what happened.
Okay, we have
page 7.
What we received from the Senate is CSSB 726, and we've had drafted a HCS CSSB 726.
Sounds like an automatic weapon used in the service.
Can we say that is on page 7?
Yes, yeah. Sir, line 7.
Page 7, line 7, public hearings. There's at least 25 resident registered voters request a hearing.
Strike registered? Was that in the original Senate bill?
No, I don't think so.
I don't believe so.
Maybe Senate could have
been. Maybe one other place that could be.
How does this differ from the one that the Senate sent over?
It's substantially different. And the most important difference, I believe, is in the detailing of the requirements for notice and findings. Our version lists the things that have to be included with in the recommendation and a little publication they have to put out.
Is that publicly proposed exchange, and that's on page 7 also, right? The report on proposed exchange would include physical characteristics of the land, appraised fair market value, benefits, detriments.
Yeah, I think that sounds
right. Alternatives to the proposed exchange,
right,
and so forth.
Right. Let's start on page 7. And then the legislative review provisions are more detailed than
right, 10 days.
In the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
About the mineral conveyance strike. That's in the Senate bill too.
What's that?
Mineral conveyance of mineral rights.
What page is
the exchange authorized are on the first page of the committee substitute for the Senate. Where it had if the mineral estate.
No, our version says that service and mineral go together unless they've already been previously separated. In other words, if all we've gotten from the federal government is one or the other way, we can exchange that. Otherwise, it's a package deal.
Okay, do we get past the argument, the equal value thing with the subsurface and surface estate transferring?
The House Committee version has a equal value requirement unless certain other things are done. That's where the legislative review comes in heavy. It's not an equal value exchange.
An exchange for other than equal appraised fair market value subject to legislative review.
Right.
So the questions that are open and ended then are to be resolved by the legislature.
Page 3, we treat the conveyance of mineral rights as subject requirements chapter directors authorized to convey mineral rights to the extent the conveyance is authorized by constitution and applicable federal law. May not convey or receive surface estate of land or the mineral rights in it one without the other unless the transfer is necessitated by a prior separation of ownership.
I think that's clearer than the send it for the next year. That was my big problem, was the first section of the Senate bill. That's why I couldn't understand. There's too much left open for interpretation. Were there any other changes?
No, the only change that I would recommend in this is that deletion of the registered voters, so that we've got 25 residents.
Why don't we take up that first proposed change on page 7, line 7, A2, at least 25 resident registered voters request a hearing. The suggestion is to delete registered, is that correct?
Registered voters.
Is there a motion for that effect?
So moved.
On page 7.
Yeah, just hold up a minute before you accept it. You know, I think that's putting the protection of the small villages, actually. 25 residents.
Villages or residents?
25 residents of a village would be 25 registered voters, would be 25 eligible people. So there's a difference in it, you know.
The villages are protected, too, in the next one, though, Jim. It says a municipality can request a hearing.
Well, what do you got against registered voters?
Nothing. Some of my best constituents are registered voters.
Some of them aren't.
Some of them.
I don't know.
Well, should we have an ancient farm? Let's say that 25 kids got together under 15.
Why not?
Yeah, well, that's what that's my objection. 25, you know, residents.
Be
anybody resident.
They're going to be 19
or registered. Yeah, if you're 19 years old, at least they're in the corridor. But
would a petition by 15 be legally binding?
25.
At least 25 resident.
Residents.
Resident registered voters.
At least 25 residents request a hearing.
That's one way of proving residency, though.
Huh?
That's one way they can prove residency if they're registered to vote. They know they're a resident then.
Yeah. So I have nothing against it myself.
It's no big deal as far as I'm concerned. We can leave it that way.
But what would be your argument to remove registered voters? That's all I'm interested in. There must be election.
Just to make the process easier. So that both the petitioning process and the checking and the they have an Alaska address on the petition, it's valid. But like I say, it's no big hang up. We can leave it registered voters.
Do you want to withdraw your motion?
Okay, withdraw.
I think of the
there's no objection. The motion to remove registered voters is withdrawn. What was the other?
That was it.
They
were both the same.
We can have 15 pipeliners, I mean, number 25 pipeliners.
They've been here for 30 days.
Put out the airplane and sign it.
Yeah, if they've been here 30 days, they can be registered voters.
That's right.
Will we move it out?
The House Committee substitute be adopted and moved out of resources.
All right.
There's a motion to move out House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 726, an act related to exchange of state land. And is there any objection? Hearing none, motion move out passes. How many new passes do we have on that? Got a majority of the committee present.
More or less accurate.
You've got a couple of hookers in there we didn't see.
Yeah, we just passed out wood tick chick part.
Anderson State Park.
Right. That's the one change that was made. Nels Anderson Memorial State Park.
It's probably the only time you ever get it out is after that. That particular time.
Okay.
We expect on a Monday that comes on Friday.
With no break at all, you know. That's what makes it. Next subject before us is House Bill 804. It's a committee substitute that was drafted by a subcommittee, Mr. Smith being chairman.
Is that subcommittee again? Are you into that business now? I thought you were strictly parks.
Oh, no, I'm a man for all seasons.
There's been a lot of hunting in parks.
There won't be any hunting season in parks, so.
Sure there will.
No, there won't. I'm going to make sure Meacham doesn't get any, does he, that he gets all of
them. Yeah, he backed Meacham up and makes damn sure we don't get it out to get a park. The one that he said we get out to get a park, and next time he backed Meacham up, so we guaranteed not to get any.
I just wish to hell I was half as powerful as that Meacham. He apparently outvotes everybody else on the board.
He does.
I'd love to outvote everybody else on this committee.
Talk about hunting in the parks. Back when we established the park, it's at one outside anchorage, you know.
You guys?
My amendment on the floor of the House heard over objection to Gene Chance was allowed hunting in parks. Fish and Game Board to control the hunting in parks. And the Bill said no hunting at all. We had a hell of a battle.
Well, you got him the other day. It was recommended to work for you.
It is open to hunting.
I thanked her too.
It was open. The original concept was the original bill.
Yeah.
The floor said no hunting, period. We got it opened up.
I don't believe in that. The problem is that if you ban hunting in a park area while you're setting up an artificial barrier in the game management program. I always wanted the authority to restrict shooting, you know, but not control hunting.
I assume they've established certain areas you can't.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Mr. Smith, would you like to take us through?
I'm not sure I can remember.
The committee substitute for House Bill number 804. There's been major surgery done to the original bill.
Oh, yeah.
And what you've done is you've, according to what I read here, is that you've given the State Board of Game the ability to hear people who petition the game board for a subsistence area, and if there's a biological reason to honor that petition, then the decision would be made to create a subsistence area based on biological evidence.
Sounds right to me.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Eisen?
My analysis of the bill is that we're right back where Jimmy put us here last year, except for the reporting provision.
For the reporting provision.
That report next year, January 1st, 1977, on what areas they did establish.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only, that's substantially the only difference I can see between what you did and what we have here.
Well, what he was trying to do is line out the areas of subsistence where likely they're having a problem with the fishing right now through the ice, you know.
I don't think you're going to resolve that type of thing to the satisfaction of the law, the Constitution.
Yeah, the major difference is, as the chairman has indicated, is a petitioning process.
But I assume that you can petition under Administrative Procedures Act, can't you?
No, there's no mechanism to do that this time.
Well, I would hope that the force, any board in the state would allow public hearing under some type of petition process without, I can't visualize them refusing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's three ways you can establish the subsistence area recommendation of the department. Majority vote, active vote, advisory committees, or written petition not less than 100 interested residents. Change that paragraph B from the way it's in present law. Mm-hmm. Added the hearing requirement in C. Prohibition against creation of the board to
determines the biological evidence indicates creation is likely to adversely affect the resource. Reasons by which the board changed the boundaries.
I'm ready to sign.
No, don't have to repeat it.
Is there a motion to move the bill out?
I'll make
committee
a
substitute.
Osterbeck moves.
Osterbeck moves the committee substitute for House Bill number 804. All those in favor? How many due passes do we have? One bill that you probably all have been hearing about lately, or probably have been getting correspondence on, telephone calls. I've been on a daily basis about 0730, 1200, 1200 hours or so from throughout the nation, world, remote areas throughout the state. Particular bill dealing with
Mars radio,
giving the military the opportunity to attack our natural renewable resources. With a hunting license that they could purchase for a resident fee for small game and sport fishing. And I don't even know what bill number it is. Do you know what bill number it is?
Senate bill?
It's a Senate bill, yes.
It's a very, 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 very good job.
Just what it is, huh? I've been referring all my calls to you, so. I would suggest you put it among the park bills.
It is a park bill.
Not a park bill.
Well, anyway, it's to help military people get the sport fishing license and small game license for the resident fee without having to have lived here for whatever amount of time it takes to be eligible for a resident fishing or hunting, sport fishing and small game license. Would you like to discuss that?
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, we don't have the other copies of this thing here yet, and they're not open downstairs, but it's just a brief paragraph, and I'll read it if you'd like.
Sure.
An act relating to fees for fish and game An act relating to fees for fish and small game licenses for military personnel and providing for an effective date. Section 1 AS 1605340 was amended by adding a new subsection to read: members of the military service on active duty who are permanently stationed in the state and their dependents who do not qualify as residents under section 940, subsection 14 of this chapter, may obtain a special non-resident military small game and sport fishing license at the rate for resident hunting and sport fishing licenses, but may not take big game animals without previously purchasing a regular non-resident hunting license and a numbered non-transferable appropriate tag issued at the non-resident rate under A16 of this section. And the act takes place January 1, 1977. Letter of intent from the Senate Resources Committee. It is the intent of the Senate Resources Committee through passage of CSSS SB 565 to provide that the special license to be issued be made available as either a sport fishing license only or a small game hunting license only, or a combination of both upon payment of the applicable fees for each class of license. That's it.
My objection last year was that the big game They're going after the big game resources. And they've modified it considerably from what it was last year. Didn't we defeat that on the floor of the House last year?
Never. We defeated it here.
Well, we blasted it here and sunk it here, I remember.
And we've been,
I know
we've
it was sunk on this side, whatever.
Yeah.
That was a Tom Fink bill, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, like Tom Fink bill. Tom Fink had big game in it, you know.
Yeah, I think it just got lost in the committees.
Yeah, I know we dealt with it here, and I think we.
Oh, you dealt with it on the floor. That's right. It was defeated on the floor. Charlie Parr took it out.
It was on the floor.
Charlie Parr defended it.
Mainly because of the big game commission, which they have removed. This passed 17-2 on the Senate in this form, the small game.
I have no objection to it as long as they just. What we ought to do if we're going to do anything with it, though, is adopt the intent of the Senate Resources Committee and only make it apply to small game and sport fishing. That's what I hear.
What are we talking about, small game?
Rabbits.
Rabbit, fox, wolf. So, black bear.
I used to rifle one of those certain new military rifles that goes, 500 rounds a minute.
Very thoroughly.
Dead-centered.
Well, there is sort of a logical argument against it, in as much as that you do discriminate. You're saying that somebody coming in the state who lives here, say, for 6 months, register and they vote. But you're telling these particular people, they might be intending to stay here all their life. You're telling them they have to wait another 6 months before they get a resident license. On the other hand, you're telling somebody in the military comes in and we know it's going to be here just a short period of time. He can go ahead and have that put right. There's a discrimination feature about it.
That's right. That part of it bothers me a little, but not as much as the bill last year where they're going after the big game. I'm willing to. If the small game and if the sport fishing resource was in trouble, and if there was, if Hershberger was violently opposed to it, and I don't think he is for this version of the bill, then I think we ought to give some consideration to the committee.
And we can limit the small fish, too.
Nothing
other. Salmon's an endangered species.
Mr. Chairman?
Especially in the rivers.
Yeah. We got it on the table, are we going to accept it or not? Is it scheduled on the table at this time?
There is a motion to move the bill out.
I withdraw the motion. I want to hear about it first. I move that we put the bill on the table for discussion.
What's that?
Senate Bill 565 dealing with small fish and game license.
We don't have a copy. I'm sorry.
What is it? Fishing game licenses for military.
Oh, up in the for military?
Military.
Yeah.
Small game and small, sport fish.
I have an amendment for that bill.
It's right there. You want to?
Where is it?
It's right there. It's
in hand.
We can make copies. I just read it to the committee before you all walked in.
You got to let them shoot rabbits and grouse.
Rabbits and grouse and fish.
Yeah. No, we don't let them shoot fish.
No.
Try to stop them. got a tank.
Oh, big deal. Shoot rabbits.
Well, where does it say in here about the rabbits?
The committee intent. Look at the resources intent. I think there's a better in there.
Rabbits and gophers.
And lemming.
Can we include wolves in that, though?
Sure.
Add the intent.
Hey, why not? Yeah, the intent. It doesn't say
considered small game.
Well, I want an amendment in here that the road signs are not classed as small game.
Oh, okay, I'll go along with that.
Put that in the intent.
Yeah. Hey, I'll put that in there.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll add our
letter of the road signs.
Letter of transmittal.
Well, I was going to do that on the floor of the House.
Yeah.
If it ever comes up, I'm going to make that amendment on the floor.
Okay. Very good.
In all seriousness, why can't I think it has some merit allowing them to shoot wolves.
I agree.
Yeah.
Oh,
but for the purpose of this particular act, wolves are considered small game.
Right.
Okay.
Automatic weapons and hand grenades are authorized.
Hey, that one. Jeez, you get some press on that one.
For the purposes of
we'll have the military shoot our wolves for us.
Small wolves are considered fair game.
What's the difference?
Wolves are considered
hiring a helicopter.
I think it would be in conflict with the regulations of the part.
Conflict.
Wolves are classified as big game.
Would someone move the letter of transmittal?
Move what?
The letter of transmittal considering wolves as small game for the purpose of this act.
Right.
That's would you move that?
I'll make that motion.
Okay, is there any objection?
I object.
There is objection. All those in favor of forwarding a letter with the bill for purposes of this act that wolves be considered small game. All those in favor, please raise your right hand. Those opposed?
You guys.
The ayes have it.
You're very welcome if we're late in the session.
Oh, God. I can't believe that is before.
Is there further discussion on the bill? There's a motion to move the bill out of committee.
Huh?
Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none.
Game.
Senate Bill 565 moves out. How many do passes do we have? The majority do pass. The Eliason letter of transmittal.
The Eliason letter of transmittal.
Sure, get the roadsides in there too.
I'm going to do that.
Who wants to do it on the floor?
Oh,
Hirschberger
won't let you. I'd probably like to withdraw the motion, but I.
Hirschberger won't let you.
Ed Murney called me up and asked me to support that bill and call General Hale and all that. I told him that I would agree if they would agree to my amendment.
I've apparently been signed to.
I don't know how many rabbits they hunt in that area. Is that quite popular?
Well, they're pretty. Yeah. Not too much rabbit, but a lot of grouse and a lot of. Mostly fishing, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's not a bad deal.
We adjourn signing that.
It's only $15 for a non-resident fishing.
No objection. We adjourn to all things to say. Oh, I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, we have copies and we have the. Committee substitute, House committee substitute for committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 406 that was just delivered to us. We will have copies
made
back
again, huh?
For the members to look at before it's transmitted across the House floor if that's your intent.
Yeah, the request of the committee was that they review it. It's ready for review. We'll make copies, put them in your boxes. And we'll have the
sign it out tomorrow or something.
Well, this afternoon, if you'd like, or whatever. I don't really care.
Well,
here's a new
Let's
tanker.
Move the bill signatures. Out.
You know what?
Here's
a new tanker rule to affect Alaska.
Right.
I wonder if this has any bearing on this.
It
bill.
Might, because it refers to 70 deadweight tons.
That's right. 70,000 deadweight tons. The Coast Guard put these in.
What I'll do is I'll keep the committee report down here at Ruth's desk. And after you've had a chance to review the bill, sign it according to what you were going to sign it.
Okay.
Mr. Van Dorn.
I have an addition that the members should be aware of. This is a memorandum from Mr. Stuart Hall, who did the committee substitute. He states, Dear Mr. Chairman, in the House committee substitute, which you directed this office to prepare, incorporating various amendments adopted by the House Resources Committee, we edited the language of the proposed AS 25-250D-F, found on page 21, lines 14 through 29, inclusive, and on page 22, lines 1 through 4, inclusive, to conform it to the legislative drafting manual and to the style adhered to by this office contained in Dickerson's The Fundamentals of Legal Drafting, 1965, and to eliminate excessive verbiage reduction.
Did he ask you to do that? Look, we can read that memo if you want us. Is there a real purpose to that? Because does it change the intent of the bill?
It does not. The other language encompassed in that insurance clause.
There's going to be a
changed.
Difference
right.
than what we
and
actually
what
passed.
What we wrote, right.
Okay, and that's
he asked reason. This to be read in the record.
Oh, geez. Consider it read the record.
You
okay.
can, at recess, you can go over and read to that mic.
Yeah, I know. You know, Stu Hall's a nice guy. I really like him. I didn't know that was a purpose. If I'd known that, we could have considered read in. The memo from Stu Hall is read into the record, Madam Secretary. If there's no objection, this committee is adjourned until further notice.
Well, that's a blessing.
Did you want to sign that, Kenny?
Bill 688, objection. 689. 688 is the activating the salmon hatches and providing for effective date. Okay. If there's no objection, then 688 move out as a repass.
I ask we move out 689.
689 is the Fisheries Enhancement Loan Program providing for effective date. Is there any objection to the motion to move the bill out? If there's no objection, 689 will have a due pass recommendation. The other bill before us is House Bill number 931, an act relating to the Fisherman's Fund Advisory Board and Appeals Council. And what this bill does is it expands the area into a District 5. It takes into the council areas north of Cape Newenham, including Kuskokwim, Yukon, Kotzebue, and the Arctic. And the reason for that is that before, I think it was 1953, there was no canned salmon or any commercial fishing in that area. Now there is, and the fishermen up there that are in that area want to be included and have a representative on the Fisherman's Fund Advisory Board. And
move it up, then you go up and see the governor.
Okay, fine. Well, I'd be glad to do it. There's a motion to move out House Bill number 931. Is there any objection to the motion? Hearing none, House Bill number 931 to move out. Is there no further business?
Mr. Chair, Chairman, before we adjourn, would you read that letter of intent we wrote up yesterday?
The letter of intent for...
On that... licensing bill.
Oh, for the rabbits?
Or whatever. Do you have a copy of the
which bill is that? That's military licensing bill?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shortest meeting we ever been at. What'd you guys get up early for? The meeting's all over.
Honorable Representative, I understand now that you believe finally that the session is party control to a close. I wouldn't believe it until now.
I think that Fisheries Enhancement legislation is a good one.
Yes, it is. I agree. Have you all read Sponsor Substitute for Senate Bill 406?
That's fine. I read it and I find
what
it.
What was
it?
Tanker bill.
Oh, yeah.
Have you read it?
Half of it. I haven't finished it yet.
It's a long deal. But anyway, the thing is out there, I guess, on Ruth's desk yet.
On where? Oh, on
Ruth's desk, yeah.
Somebody put a copy in our mail yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but,
do you know of any this Senate Bill 689 that we just kicked out, you know, the enhancement loan? Mm-hmm. Do you know of any snags that might not get through?
I don't see any.
I don't either. On that,
Chairman, I got a phone call last night.
Nuremberg wants to borrow my money.
Yeah. Well, where is it? We did vote on a letter of intent.
Yes, sir, and it was transmitted up to the chief clerk's office.
Okay, the chief clerk has, we don't have a copy of it here?
No, sir. Yeah.
If we don't have a copy of it here, it's up in the chief clerk's office.
Did you get a copy to read it for us?
Supposedly, yeah.
You ever find that licensing bill which increased the commercial fishing license fees, the sport license fees, and so on and so forth?
It's in this committee.
I thought we passed that one.
I thought we did too, but I don't know what it's doing here.
Excuse me, I signed a report on it.
Yeah, I thought we passed it too.
I did too, yeah.
Well, let's adjourn. What are we waiting for?
Where did that letter get started?
I thought we did.
Huh?
I want to find out what that letter of intent, as long as we have a meeting this morning, I'd like to find out what that letter said.
Is there a motion to
adjourn? You know,
I thought you adjourned.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
Yeah, I move to adjourn the panel at that.
All those in favor say aye.
I've got something to do.
Thank you.
Courtesies.
Well, I'll be glad to sit here as long as you like.
I will do it before.